Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Trade deadline happened yesterday. We're going to break it all down in just a moment. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Coach Mac, Angelic, Ryan Rodemeiner, Linda Miller, Tim Sleek, and Jeff Klein. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Really appreciate that a ton. If you have not yet checked out those memberships, make sure to do so. Also, got to give a shout out to Autograph. If you've not yet checked out Autograph, it is awesome. One-stop shop for all your things Green Bay Packers. I'm going to be doing halftime chats there for games moving forward, so it is going to be worth it for that. Exclusive content still, so make sure to check out the Autograph app wherever you get your apps in the App Store, and then you can use code PACKADAY when you're signing up as well, so make sure to check that out. All right. A interesting day in the NFL when it came to the trade deadline. One pretty significant trade, sending Marshon Lattimore to the Washington Commanders. That was by far and away the biggest deal of the day. From a Packers standpoint, they go out, they trade Preston Smith, and they do not acquire anyone else in return. The trade is ultimately Preston Smith for a seventh round pick. Again, Green Bay did not go out and acquire any other players via trade or even for street free agents or somebody else to fill that roster spot, at least on Tuesday, right? That was it for Green Bay. We talked about it on the couple of trade episodes of how there's some players that maybe would make sense for Green Bay and then players that would make sense to trade away. And Preston Smith was kind of the main one on that list. I talked about Stokes a little bit. My issue with Preston and why I didn't ultimately think it passed the smell test is because what I thought Green Bay would get in return would be a seventh round pick. It just so happened to be a seventh round pick. And what I didn't think Green Bay would do would be to take that. Now, I don't have an issue with it. I absolutely would have taken that deal. I have no problem with it whatsoever. We'll break down why in just a moment. I just didn't think Green Bay was going to look at it and say, you know what? We have him on the roster now. There's not a viable, like, we're not going to trade for somebody else. We'll just take a seventh round pick. I thought for sure that they would want sort of the depth and the experience at that position, even though he hasn't been playing well. We'll get into all of that. I thought they would value that a little bit more. I would not have. I would have done that deal. And we'll get into, like I said, we'll get into why in just a moment. But that was the only thing that was, to me, the big question mark. I did also question if some team was going to be willing to take him on and take on the remaining salary, which is mostly just a like 2 to 3 million, like a little over 2 million for this year. Next year, they can get off of it. So it's not anything super exorbitant. So that kind of gets pushed to the side a little bit. But I didn't know if Green Bay would take a seventh. Clearly, they were okay with it. Like I said, I was more than okay with that as well. As far as the other trades that happened, and we'll get into some of these more too, but this was the list of trades that did happen on deadline day. Mike Williams, the wide receiver from the Jets to the Steelers. Marshon Lattimore, we talked about, from the Saints to the Commanders. Jonathan Mingo, the wide receiver from the Panthers, heads to Dallas. Za'Darius Smith to the Detroit Lions. Khalil Herbert, the running back from the Bears, goes to the Bengals. Khalil Davis, the defensive tackle, goes from the Texans to the 49ers. Tre'Davious White goes from the Rams to the Ravens, of course, the cornerback, the veteran corner, and then Preston Smith, of course, to the Steelers. That was your full list of deals on the day. And we'll break down if Green Bay should have entertained any of those a little bit more. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about Preston Smith first. One of the things that I want to say at the onset here is I will be the first to admit it's really easy, especially from an analytical point of view, to just look at the numbers and the analytics side of things, right? You save this much salary cap space, you get this draft pick in return. How will it affect the Steelers? What sort of depth chart is the Packer? Are the Packers going to have a defensive end? How does this affect Aaron Mosby and Brenton Cox? You immediately start going into analysis mode. Preston Smith, still a human being, and he has had a heck of a career in Green Bay. He was a great signing. This was his sixth season in Green Bay. He outlasted Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, and Billy Turner from that free agent class. He is sixth all-time in sacks for the Packers. Now, sacks were not always tracked. You guys know that. It took until like the very modern era until they started tracking sacks. I don't know why, by the way. At what point did they think like that would not be something that should be tracked? I don't get that at all. But it was not tracked until the 80s, if I remember correctly. Maybe even, I think it was the 80s. But even still, he's sixth all-time on the Packers sacks list. Only Aaron Kampman, Tim Harris, Reggie White, Kabir Bajabiamila, and Clay Matthews are ahead of him. So that's pretty darn good. Again, he was a really solid signing for Green Bay. You can make the argument that they maybe extended him out a year or two too long. I thought he was fine last year. He's not had a good season this year. His snaps were already getting cut. But just to go back to Preston for a moment, really good signing by Green Bay. Liked what he brought to the team. Great leader in the locker room. The Smiths, go back to the when they signed Zadarius and Preston. The Smiths press conferences were awesome. Like, just some really cool stuff. And I thought he was somebody that consistently and constantly carried the G in Green Bay. Great locker room guy. So I think that part will definitely be missed. I think the cool thing for Preston, he's going to Pittsburgh. Still like a playoff team to a playoff team, right? I do expect Pittsburgh to get into the playoffs where they're at right now in a weaker AFC. Playoff team to a playoff team. But more importantly, he's going back to a 3-4. You could tell the 4-3 did not fit Preston very well. There's a reason they were cutting those snaps. And now he's going to get to go over in Pittsburgh in a 3-4. But more importantly, he's not going to have to be the guy there. And not that he was in Green Bay right now either, but he's got TJ Watt. He's got Highsmith. I mean, even Herbeg, although he's been hurt, has been really good in limited playing time as well. He's going to be able to rotate with those guys. And I think that's going to be a really great spot for him, again, playing in that 3-4 defense in Pittsburgh. So I think it's a smart move by Pittsburgh. I think it's a smart move for Green Bay. And I think it works out great for Preston Smith. But kudos to Preston for everything that he's done for the Green Bay Packers. Again, sixth in all-time sacks, which is really cool for him. And again, I think this is a great move for him. And I think he's going to fit in very well in Pittsburgh. But again, very appreciative to everything that Preston Smith has done for the team and carrying the G and being a consummate Green Bay Packer. And yeah, that's all I have to kind of say about that aspect of it. But I think I always want to remember that and try not to forget that, because again, it's so easy to immediately look at the analytical side of things. That being said, let's get to the analytical side of things. As I mentioned, his snaps were getting cut. He was playing just a little bit over like 20 snaps per game. Recently, he was behind, not only Rashawn Gary, but LVN and Kingsley Nigbari, the fourth most edge rusher snaps. Even Aaron Mosby starting to cut into those snaps a little bit. So you can see a little bit of the writing on the wall here. And for me, I haven't finished my grades for this past week yet. Sorry, I've been a little bit of a slacker. It's kind of a lot going on this week. But negative 1.95 grade for me in the season. He has a 61.8 overall grade for PFF so far, but only a 58.0 pass rush grade. And if you look at like the advanced analytics and stats and pressure rates and stuff like that, he is in the bottom tier of pass rushers when it comes to pass rush win rate. So that has not been great for him. On the season, he has 10 total pressures on 171 pass rush attempts. So one pass rush win every 17.1 pass rush snaps. That's not one win every 17 snaps. That's just specifically when he's rushing the passer. It's not great. He's got 3 sacks on the year, 1 hit, and 6 hurries. That gets you to those 10 pressures. 3 sacks, 1 hit, 6 hurries. He has not had that big time impact. He's been okay as a run defender, not great as a run defender. He is somebody that will drop back into coverage every now and again in some of those, blitz looks. They'll usually have him be one of the guys that drops back. But overall, you could kind of tell he was not a fit in this Jeff Hafley defense. And you could tell it was time to go in a different direction. And I think you really want to see some of those younger guys start getting some opportunities. Could they have maybe made a trade for somebody else? Yes, but we'll talk about that more as well. Now, people will look and say, just a 7th round pick. The first thing you have to look at when any trade is done is the salary cap side of things. All right. Preston Smith will still count $12 million against the salary cap this season. All right. So there's an exorbitant cap charge this year. He will also have a $9.8 million dead cap hit next year. Those things were going to have happened no matter what. They could not have gotten out of those. That's all signing bonus money and things that they've done to restructure his deal that they were going to have to get out of at some point. This was their way of getting out of it. So 12 mil they'll take on this year in total. That's for what he's played already and for the remainder of the year. So 12 mil will be gone this year. And that's already accounted for. You don't have to worry about that. 9.8 will be a dead cap hit next year. That would have happened unless they released him with a June 1st designation next year, in which case that 9.8 would have basically been split in half between like next year and the following year. It may not have been exactly half, but that basically would have been what it was. So they would have had to pay that no matter what. And he was not going to be on the team next year. They would have released him next year if they did not find a trade. So those things would have happened no matter what. And the great news is now it's just done. So you got $12 million in cap it this year. You're going to have that $9.8 million in dead cap next year. And then you don't have to worry about it ever again. Like it's just, you ripped the Band-Aid off, which is always a good thing. Now what you will do, you will save $2 million in salary for the remainder of this year. And then the rest of it, you have to be a little bit careful with. They will save $7.6 million next year in salary cap space, $18.2 million in 2026, and $1.7 million in 2027. That is true, but they would have saved the 7.6, the 18.2, and the 1.7, even if they just released them next year, which was basically a foregone conclusion. So the real savings from a salary cap standpoint was the $2 million that the Steelers will take on for the remainder of this year. And Green Bay did not have to pay any additional money to have the Steelers take them on. So there is just that small $2 million savings. That's the real savings. He was going to get cut next year anyway. So you're basically trading the remainder of games this year of Preston Smith, which will be what? You've played 9 games already. You've got 8 games and any playoff games that you play in. So hopefully, 12 games. Hopefully 12 games, somewhere between 8 and 12 games. That's what you would have had Preston Smith for. You will trade those 12 games of Preston Smith away, or 8 to 12 games of Preston Smith, for a $2 million cap savings and a 7th round pick. That's ultimately what this deal is. Now, I know a lot of people not exactly happy with that side of things. You're trading away who has been basically your starting edge rusher at a position that has been a struggle for Green Bay already, and now you have less depth at the position, and all you're getting is a 7th round pick in return and $2 million. Is that worth it? Well, let's go through that. Because I know it's a 7th round pick, like I will make the argument, we'll talk about this later as well, of like, hey, you talk about a 4th, 5th, 6th round pick, like those even 4th or 5th, right? Like those can have value. Certainly anything above that have a lot of value. 7th, you can find a Rashid Walker, starting left tackle there. You can find that. You can find a player here or there that might be able to help you out. But more often than not, it's not going to be something that usually works out in your favor. In fact, Green Bay released a 7th round pick in Michael Pratt. Kalen King they released. They brought him back to the practice squad. Grant Dubose last year is gone. Lou Nichols last year is gone. So, you know, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get something of any value. But they did get something of value in return. They got something at least, right? They got a 7th round pick. And even if they don't, you know, utilize that as a draft pick, remember, they traded a 7th round pick for Malik Willis. So if it does help you sleep at night, just know that they basically kind of traded Preston Smith for Malik Willis, and they just got a 7th round pick in return, or like they swapped the 7th round picks, right? So you could kind of look at it that way. But either way, they did get something in return. But let's kind of look at this of why Green Bay would make this deal. Number one is he's not playing well. He has not performed well this season in this defense. He has not taken to it, and there's not a lot of juice there for Preston. I would very much say this wholeheartedly, and I talked about this earlier in the year. When you go back to last year, I was very clear and adamant about the fact that it very much seemed that Devondre Campbell had not only lost a step, but had lost about a step and a half. I would make a pretty similar argument about Preston Smith. I don't think he's just lost a step. I think he's lost a step. Maybe I'm not going to say a step and a half, but I think he's lost a step. You're getting to that age. He's going to turn 32 this month. 32. Oldest player on the team, I believe. Yeah, oldest player on the team. So to me, just seeing what he hasn't been this year makes me totally fine with moving on, because I do believe that he hasn't played up to expectations. I don't think he fits perfectly in the defense. He's getting older, and to me, he's lost a step. What I do think he can be is a good locker room presence and a solid run defender, but they have guys on the edge that can set the edge. I'm not super concerned about that. and he has not brought anything really explosive from a pass rush standpoint, nor does he show any signs of turning a corner and being able to be that guy. Now, that being said, he'll probably go to Pittsburgh and have 10 sacks the remainder of the season because those are how those things go sometimes. But for right now, I have not seen anything on tape this year that would make me say this is going to be a big loss for Green Bay in any capacity. The biggest thing is, again, I don't think he fits this 4-3 defense. I don't think it's been a great change for him. And he was already getting those snaps cut, like we talked about, only playing about 20 snaps per game. And here's the other big thing. Green Bay wants to get these young guys out on the field. And I know, just saying it, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, really? Why? LVN has not made the use of those snaps. Enigbari's been okay. Like, maybe Mosby and Brenton Cox can be something, but you still could have played them, right? I understand that. But also, I understand and appreciate the fact that Preston has not done anything with those snaps. And what we saw last year at around the same time is Green Bay had to find ways and started to find more and more ways to get their young players on the field to gain experience and to get better. That's clearly their hope for LVN, for Kingsley and Igbari, and for maybe even Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby here, is to give them the opportunity to grow within this defense, get better, and have more opportunities. Whether or not that works, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I don't think the difference, like, I'll just say this, all right? I'm going to make this as clear as possible. I don't think the difference between a Preston Smith and a Brenton Cox in this defense, even if that's what it ends up being, if they take his 20 snaps from Preston and they just give him to Brenton Cox, which they're not going to do, by the way. But even if they just did that, I don't think you'd even notice a difference. I really don't. So to maybe be able to get one of these young guys that gets more playing time, whether it is LVN more snaps, Enigbari more snaps, Mosby, Cox, or maybe some combination, right? Whatever it might be, I do think that you're going to be able to try to develop the talent there. And I don't think you lose anything in talent on the field from what we've seen so far this year. Again, for me, he's been a negative player. For PFF, he's been a neutral player. And I think they can find replacements for that with what they have on the roster already. So that's the big thing for me. And Green Bay, again, wants to see those younger guys, get them on the field, and hopefully playing at an even better level than what Preston was. And I don't think that's a super hard bar to surpass. And they are clearly, for better or worse, heavily invested in LVN and want to get him out on the field and playing as many snaps as possible because they have said he needs to play more and get more reps in order to get better. There's a sign every once in a while from here and there out of LVN. I think he's been fine as a run defender. The pass rush plan is still very much lacking, but they're going to have to figure out something to unlock him and Enigbari and the rest of those guys. I would have said the same thing if Preston Smith was still here. They got to find a way to unlock something in that pass rush one way or the other. And I'll say it one more time. I don't think losing Preston Smith is going to affect that all that much. Now, hey everyone, as Green Bay gets set to head into their bye week, I always find the week without a game to be one of my favorite times to play Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, you can sign up and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Simply put, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes against Denver, Russell Wilson against Washington, and CJ Stroud to bounce back huge against Detroit. The best part is there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me. That is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and most importantly because of its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. And what's even better, you can sign up in minutes from your phone and there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0. Changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. As far as like, should Green Bay have gotten more for him? Should they have been able to get a fourth, fifth pick, sixth round pick, something like that? Baron Browning, who is playing much better football than Preston, is younger and is cheaper, got a sixth round pick. All right. So there was never any chance that you were going to get anything better than that. And probably even equal to that, because somebody who is, again, playing better than him, cheaper, younger, and has a better upside, at least at this point in their careers, right? Went for a sixth. You were never going to get the same value. So the only thing that was going to be out there was a seventh. And I mean, I talked about it yesterday. I said, if they trade him, it's going to be for a seventh. I think I actually may have said a ham sandwich, but you know, or something like that, but it was going to be a seventh right before the trade got like completed. And I'm like, don't be surprised if this is just for a seventh. If anything else above and beyond that, it would be a bonus. And then it got tweeted out seventh. Not a surprise at all. You have to kind of see where the market's at. And if Browning's going for a sixth, you're not getting a sixth because Preston is not as good, just quite frankly. So that makes sense. I think that what they got in return was of fair value. And quite frankly, it felt like it was a nice little bonus getting kind of anything in return for him at this point. So the next question then, and we kind of gone over this already, but does this make ultimately Green Bay worse? The depth isn't as good. You're losing a starter. I just don't see it that way. I'll say it one more time. I have him as a negative, PFF as a neutral. I do think it ultimately depends on how the edge rushers play in his absence. If you do see Aaron Mosby or Brenton Cox get in and they show that they're more than capable, then you definitely don't lose anything. Or if LVN or Enigbare take a jump and being able to play more snaps and with that become better football players, then no, I don't think you do either. Now, if you play those guys more and they end up just playing worse than even Preston Smith was playing, then yes, that would make you worse. But if that happens, if LVN and Enigbare and the rest of that defensive line cannot pick up the slack for somebody who was already struggling, your defensive line just wasn't good enough in the first place. And if they're not playing well, Preston, I still don't think was going to play well. I still think you're probably in more of like a wash. And I think there's an opportunity for these young players to eventually, maybe this year, maybe it's early next year, play better even than what Preston's playing or was playing through the course of this year. And we saw it last year. You saw these players that, you know, you had to get in, these young players, guys like Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, a lot of like they started rotating in Sean Ryan, right? We saw it on the defensive side of the ball, Carrington Valentine. They had to get these guys in the field so that they could start playing and start improving. And that's what Green Bay is banking on here, is that they're going to get these guys in the game. They're going to start getting to more snaps and hope that they improve. And I also think too, not only from a depth standpoint, like you still have five defensive ends right there. You've got Gary, you've got Enigbare, LVN, Mosby, and Brenton Cox. You still have five guys there. Jamin Davis is somebody you just brought in the practice squad who was brought in as a linebacker, but more recently was playing pass rusher. One of the things that I'm interested in this is, does this potentially, I don't think so, but does this potentially get you a little bit more Quay as a pass rusher on the outside? You might say, well, what's the correlation there? Remember that Preston is the guy that they would normally drop in coverage. Rashawn Gary's not a drop in coverage guy. Enigbare can be an okay drop in coverage guy, probably not totally ideal, right? But he's kind of not exactly that. LVN's not a drop in coverage guy. Mosby, I think, can be a dropping coverage guy. I very much think so. They could definitely use him there. I don't think Brenton Cox is a dropping coverage guy, but then that brings you to Quay. he could be somebody that lines up as that pass rusher and you could just use him in that way, or he could be the guy that drops back into coverage from that spot. So that could be something we see a little bit more of there. And even Carl Brooks, not as a drop in coverage guy, but I think you could see maybe even him get some additional time at defensive end. So depth here is not a major problem. You have five defensive ends, and you could put Quay or Brooks out there for some snaps as well if you absolutely needed to. So then this may open up some opportunities. They're going to let whoever steps to the forefront and takes that opportunity and runs with it to really get the majority of the playing time there. And their hope is that somebody takes that opportunity and runs with it. Last but not least, but I'll end with this when it comes to Preston. I'll just say one last time. I don't think he was playing well enough to be concerned about it. I don't think this is a player that has made the impact this season where you look at trading him away and just be like, oh my goodness, how is Green Bay possibly going to replace this guy? Just don't see it that way. I think they'll be fine. I don't think it changes anything. I don't think it changes the outcome of the season. I don't think it changes their depth at the position in any significant way. I think it ultimately gets you a couple extra $1 million, a seventh round pick, and an opportunity to play your younger guys, who I think will already do an admirable job of filling in right now and could even be better by the time that we get to the end of the season and Green Bay's playing their best football. So that's what Green Bay's banking on. Overall, just this trade alone, this trade in a vacuum, really like it. I really, really like it. I have no problem with it. Love the fact that they got off the contract, ripped the Band-Aid, took the cap hits this year and next year, didn't try to do another extension with him to kick the can down the road any further. They got a seventh round pick. It's something. It's a bonus in this case. They got $2 million that they can carry over into next year to help them with some salary cap space as well. Yes, they would have cut him next year too, but by doing it now, and again, just you know where you're at, it's going to help you with some salary cap savings next year as well. It's just all the way around, I like this move, and I have no problem with it whatsoever. And I'm excited to see if Cox, Mosby, or even LVN and Enagbare, if they get those more snaps, if they can make the most out of it and really step up and make this defensive front better. That would be ideal. Now, the next thing is that a lot of people very upset that the Packers did not make a corresponding move. We talked about it again yesterday. Kendall Fuller, right, would have been a nice player. Calais Campbell would have been a nice player to go get. Jadeveon Clowney, so on and so forth. Azeez Ojulari was maybe out there. Let me just say this, and I said it yesterday all during the day after people were upset. I said, first of all, you have to have trades that are available in order to make them. You can't just conjure them out of thin air. Another team has to be willing to trade you a player in order for you to make a deal. Go back to the list. Do I want Mike Williams for Green Bay? No. Well, let's get back to Marshawn Lattimore. We'll go to that one last. Jonathan Mingo, no interest. Za'Darius Smith was never going to happen. Khalil Herbert, they were not going to trade in the division. Green Bay didn't need a running back anyway. Khalil Davis, the defensive tackle, no interest there. Tre'Davious White, the corner, we'll come back to that. And then obviously Preston Smith was the only other one. So there wasn't really a pass rusher that made sense for Green Bay at tackle or end that got actually traded. The two corners, Tre'Davious White, seventh round pick, no thanks. No chance. I wouldn't even claim him if he got cut. He's in the Rams. He's washed up at this point. He's old. The Rams had corner issues and they wouldn't even play him. So to give up a pick for him, no chance. If you would have maybe taken a flyer on him as like a, hey, let's just pick him up and see what he can do, okay. But to trade anything for him, no chance. No, absolutely no way. No interest in that. Now, Lattimore. All right. Let's talk about Marshawn Lattimore. It's a big deal. Could Green Bay have used Marshawn Lattimore? Absolutely. Am I going to look you in the eye and tell you that I would not have been excited if the Packers went out and traded for Marshawn Lattimore? I absolutely would have been excited. It would have been a really cool way to talk about the episode today. We would have been talking about the Packers acquiring Marshawn Lattimore. The cost was steep. They traded a third, a fourth, and a sixth for Lattimore and a fifth. And I understand what that sounds like. A third, a fourth, and a sixth, plus you get back a fifth and you get a really great corner. What are we doing here? I said it yesterday. I will say it again. Those draft picks are gold because you need to do your job as a scouting staff to turn those picks into cheap, valuable players. And Green Bay has done as good, if not a better job of that than everyone else in the league when it comes to finding mid-round talent that they turn into really good players that they get for super cheap for 4 years. So trading away a third, a fourth, we'll just say a third and a fourth, a fifth and sixth thing probably doesn't matter all that much. To trade away a third and a fourth round pick for Marshawn Lattimore and take on a big chunk of contract money as well. It's probably never going to be something that Goody even remotely considered. I like the deal for Washington. I would have been fine with it if Green Bay did it I do not think that that is a deal that you do easily. And I have no problem whatsoever with them not doing that deal, because I do understand the value of those picks and the contract that you have to give Marshawn Lattimore from here on out. And he's been a little bit banged up, and you don't know what that transition is going to look like coming over to Green Bay. I don't have any problem with them not doing that deal. Would not have had a problem with them doing that deal, I'll just be clear, but no problem with it whatsoever not doing that deal. And then there's nobody else that was traded. And Goody made mention of the same thing in his press conference of, it's not a store. You don't just go shopping and say what you want. There has to be a deal on both sides. We talked about Kendall Fuller, right? What if you call the Dolphins and the Dolphins are just like, no, we're not selling. We're 2-6, but we play in the AFC and we still got a shot at this thing. We're not selling anything. All right. Well, that takes Calais Campbell and Kendall Fuller away. What if you call the Panthers and say, we would like Jadeveon Clowney, and they say, we would like a second and a fourth? You just hang up the phone immediately. Like, you don't overpay and you don't know what's available. So we can have all these fun conversations. We did it yesterday. We went over some possible trades, but you have to look at that, the list of possible trades within the view of, like, they could be available. We don't know for sure. I would love to have a list of players that, you know, teams are putting on their auction boards and all 32 teams are doing for however, you know, teams communicate those things. It doesn't work that way. We don't know for sure. What I did is I went through the teams that could likely be sellers, look at some players that make sense at positions of need for Green Bay, and went over some that you would maybe want to have some conversations on. Maybe they called about Kendall Fuller and they said, we want a second round pick. And Green Bay's just like, okay, you'd see you later. You know, you just don't know. And you just can't say for sure that guys were available or that their prices were even anything remotely legitimate. And if you look at the trades that were made, the only trade that was made that I would have been for is the one I mentioned earlier, Baron Browning for a 6th round pick. But you have to remember this too. He went to the Cardinals for a 6th round pick. For Green Bay, they're going to say, you guys beat the Cardinals. You have a better record than the Cardinals. We don't want your 6th round pick. We want the Cardinals' 6th round pick. So then it's going to take you a 6th and a 7th, or a 6th and a, you know, 6th, or a 5th round pick. And then that costs you more. And I can understand why maybe Green Bay wasn't willing to do that for a half a year rental player who is probably not going to move the needle for you all that much. The other thing I mentioned to you the other day too is Goody has done a phenomenal job of finding good players wherever. Like, he's finding guys off practice squads, street free agents, veterans, waiver claims. He's done a tremendous job of finding guys that you can pull in and help the team right here, right now. So unless it's a big time player, I don't really feel like Goody feels like he needs to give up draft capital, because he probably feels like, oh, we need a Khalil Herbert. We can go find that somewhere. They'll just pick up Chris Brooks off of the street and he's going to be a good running back. Like, they'll find guys if they need to find guys. So I don't think there's anything outside of the Marshawn Lattimore one that really would have moved the needle for this team. And I can understand why they didn't want to give up a 3rd, a 4th, and a contract to get that player at this point in time when he's been banged up and you'd have to learn this system and play within this Jeff Hafley defense. Would I have been for it? Sure. But I can, again, I'll say it one more time, I understand exactly why Green Bay maybe did not want to do that deal. So those were the trades that were out there. Anything else we don't know for sure, even if it possibly could have happened. And I'll just go through some of the things I mentioned yesterday too. Draft picks matter. Those 3rd, 4th, 5th round picks, those can turn into Zach Toms that you get for 4 years and plays out of his mind. That can turn into Evan Williams, who you get right away and he plays out of his mind and you have him for 4 years for nothing. Those are extremely valuable picks. More often than not, you want to hold on to those. I'll also say this, and we talked about this. A lot of times, the best trades are the ones you do not make. Chase Claypool, Will Fuller at the trade deadline would have been brutal, brutal trades. More often than not, the trades that get made at the deadline do not end up helping the team that actually goes on to win the Super Bowl, or helps the team that acquires them to even get to a Super Bowl. Von Miller is the exception for the Rams. That was a big trade for them. They brought him in and he helped them win a Super Bowl. That was a huge one. That's kind of the list. Mecole Hardman last year had some impact on KC, but I have a hard time believing that that's what put them over the top. I think they would have been fine with pretty much any receiver in that situation. I don't think it was just Mecole Hardman that made that work. But I mean, again, those are the exceptions to the rule. More often than not, the player that you acquire at the deadline is not what puts you over the top. And for the people that are saying Green Bay never goes all in or doesn't, they just signed Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs in the offseason to big deals to go out and to try to win a Super Bowl right here and right now. They got Brandon McManus. They traded a 7th round pick for Malik Willis. Like, Goody's not exactly sitting on the team and saying, like, you guys are good, I'm not going to do anything to help you out. He's constantly looking. And if there wasn't anything out there from a trade standpoint, which it looks like there wasn't, and even said it was a pretty dry day for conversations. Didn't think there was going to be anything really out there, and there wasn't. So I have no problem with Green Bay sort of sitting this one out. I do not think Green Bay is giving up on the season in any way, shape, or form. I think that's a ridiculous way to look at this. I think they still think that they have the depth and the talent needed, and I think they're going to try to unlock some of these younger players, which I am all for. I talked about, you know, great players. Lattimore's the only one that was on the market that you maybe could have acquired. And again, Goody can find other guys if he needs to plug some holes. More often than not, he's very good at that. And you might say, you know, well, Green Bay never does this. So look back to the two Super Bowl years. Howard Green, Andre Rison, midseason pickups that made massive plays in those Super Bowls. Howard Green, defensive tackle, waiver claim. Andre Rison, and he, of course, forced that interception to Nick Collins in the Super Bowl, waiver claim. Andre Rison, huge touchdown on the opening drive. I think it was the opening drive of the game, if I remember correctly, for Green Bay. But the huge touchdown at the beginning of that game, waiver claim. So who knows who's going to come available in the next few weeks, and maybe Green Bay finds a player a different way. Doesn't always have to come via trade. I will say this. The pass rush was not working. They had to figure out something. And if that includes going in a different direction and getting rid of your player that's aging the most and aging the quickest and going younger, that's worked out pretty well in the past for Green Bay. So I can understand why maybe they wanted to do that. I will also say this. I understand your desire for Green Bay to do something more. I can understand your feeling of angst and frustration of this is the same old Green Bay. Every year we get into the same situation where they've got a good team. They're maybe one piece shy and they don't go and get that piece. I do think that Green Bay over the course of the last 15-ish years has had a problem with that. That especially in the Thompson years of not maybe going that one step further to take a little bit more of that chance. But there's got to be that right player available for the right reasons, for the right price. I think Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs were two big time signings to try to go in that direction. I don't think there was a trade during this deadline that was a big time needle mover. I would have done the Browning one. I would have probably found a way to get that done. I would have still done the Preston one. I would have swapped those two out, get a seventh for Preston, trade away a fifth and that seventh that you got for Preston for Browning. I think that would have been a reasonable deal. You get younger, you get more explosive. He's a good player. I would have been interested in that, but it's not anything that changes this team in any significant way. Let's see what Cox and LVN and Enigbari and Rashawn Gary and Aaron Mosby can do with the additional snaps that they're going to get. But I will say it. I understand your desire to want this team better. I get it. Like, why would you not? But again, I don't think there was a trade out there that made a ton of sense. That was just a clear night and day. They're going to completely upgrade the roster, and now they're going to be favorites. There's time. And I know that the long-term approach, people get frustrated, upset with, whatever. I totally understand it completely. But they're not in a need to be in an all-in mode right now. And I'll just end by saying this. I believe that they have the depth and the talent to be as good as they want. This is not a team that's lacking for depth or talent. The depth or talent that's on this team needs to be better. It's not... I will even go a step further. It's not the depth that needs to be better, right? It's the starting players that aren't going anywhere and are going to be starting almost no matter what. Rashawn Gary needs to be better. Kenny Clark needs to be better. Devontae Wyatt needs to be better. LVN needs to be better. Those are the guys on your defensive line that have to get there. You have to get your money's worth from. Quay Walker needs to be better. Eric Stokes needs to be better. These are the players that need to be better for you to succeed. On offense, Jordan needs to be better. Dontavian Wicks needs to be better. All right? Like, to me, it is players that we have seen do well that need to get better, take this time off, reevaluate, reassess, and get them unlocked in the second half of the season. It is not that this team is lacking in talent or in the pieces that they need to go win a Super Bowl. I really, truly believe that. It's just that the pieces that are here that need to unlock that Super Bowl talent, they need to start playing better than they did in the first half of the season. And I'll just add one final thing. Last year when the Packers traded away Rasul Douglas and they were sitting at, 2-5 at the time, they just got worse on the roster. They're already 2-5. Things aren't going in the right direction. And you know what? Somehow, some way, it kickstarted a whole new rest of the season and Green Bay played better from there on out. Sometimes you just need something. Sometimes just a change. Now, I'm not saying that the subtraction of Douglas all of a sudden made them better. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sometimes these things work in weird ways. and maybe trading away Preston Smith, giving some younger guys an opportunity, getting that defensive line in some different looks, maybe utilizing some Carl Brooks or Quay Walker in some different ways. Maybe that's exactly what this front needs. And maybe it'll make them a little bit more athletic, a little bit more spicy, and maybe they can get to the quarterback a little bit more because they are going to need to if they want to succeed in the second half of this 2024 campaign. Overall grade for Green Bay in this one, I'll give it a B+. I think the move to move on from Preston Smith was smart. I have no problem with it. I think getting a seventh round pick is icing on the cake, saving some money in the process. And I don't think there was a great deal out there for Green Bay to take advantage of. So I don't mind them not making a deal. In fact, I think some of those deals would have been bad for Green Bay. So no problem with it. They would have got Lattimore. Would have been fun. Would have been fun once I hated it. But I can very much understand why they didn't do it. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow with, should be the grades episode. So we'll go through that. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State of Minnesota and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shape Our Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Hwang, Arnoldo Espinosa, Peter Itaka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Love and Football, and Puerto Rican Packer. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.